Hey guys, today we are sitting with Jonathan as my co-host.
Say hello.
Hi. And Jamie from She Makes Art.
Hello.
So Jamie, give us your no pressure. Give us your elevator pitch on what you do so that we can tell the world what you do.
That's like
2 'cause I could say,
right?
Yeah, what you do.
So what I do, and the backstory is different. So what I do is I take words that have come and gone through me for different times in my life, and I burn them onto driftwood so that I can see them and repeat them over and over and over, and then I wanted to pass them along to everyone else who might need to hear them and read them over and over and again.
I think that's a pretty great elevator pitch.
That was an awesome elevator.
Yeah, I'll take that.
And I recently started, because I'm also a writer, which I have now claimed saying I am a writer.
Good, as you should.
And I'm starting to put my own words and my own poetry on the driftwood.
It's
very exciting.
That is exciting. I did not know that, and that makes me happy.
Yes. The last show I did last weekend at Farmhouse, people were reading my quotes on the driftwood for the first time. I heard them going, oh, and reading the quotes. I was like, that's mine.
That's
awesome. Cool.
Amazing. Gave me the chills.
Wow.
So tell me your why. Why'd you start? How did it start? Why did it start?
Well, it started actually by accident.
As writing, most things do.
Right?
Yeah.
The writing started by necessity after my divorce. I needed to write it all out of me and process. But the driftwood happened by accident. After my divorce, I spent a lot of time with my best friend's husband's best friend, Scott, who was on my Facebook a lot. And he put a swing up in his backyard for me as a place to write. And it was spinning, and I would get dizzy, so I was like, I can't sit here. So he gave me a walking stick. If you hand me a piece of wood, I want to whittle it or something, or carve it. So I was like, give me a pocket knife. So I'm like carving little things, and then he came out again with an etching vibrating tool so I could etch in it. And I'm just sitting there playing, and he goes in the shed and comes back out with a soldering iron. And I was like, what is this? So I burn over top. And I was like, I want to burn everything. So I'm in the backyard for more. He comes out with a chainsaw and slices a piece of tree that was cut. And I have this big round. And I was like, so I'm etching and I'm using the soldering iron. It was really hard with wood. I was making it up. I didn't know this was a thing. And so then I was like, oh my gosh, I want to burn everything. Fast forward, tried to make a present for him for Christmas on a piece of driftwood, which doesn't exist here. Mm-hmm. There's just, you have to go at 5 a.m., I'm sure, after a storm. So long story short, I found a piece from a friend of a friend, and I made the most pathetic piece of driftwood. It was bad. And I'm like, here. And I said, can we look for driftwood here? Because I want to remake it. I want to make it better. And we went on Christmas morning. I think it was 2.5 years ago now. The whole beach was covered in driftwood. I was hyperventilating.
Wow.
oh my gosh, look at this one. Look at this one. Filled up my whole car and drove home. Because this is up in Annapolis area. Drove home with a carload of driftwood. And I just burned everything. And then I got a real wood burner. I learned some things, and I do it all freehand. It's just me with my teacher handwriting, and that happened by accident. I didn't know I was starting a business.
I like that it happened by accident, especially if it was that recent. So I know exactly when I met you. And it would not be extraordinarily memorable to you in this capacity. But I was at what's the thing that they do at the school?
PTA?
No.
Oh, the Christmas market thingy.
The Christmas market. Mm-hmm. There's a market where you go where makers come, and you bring your kids, you give them an allowance, or you come
mm-hmm.
and buy things for Christmas. And you had, like, a little setup.
I did, and you were there.
I was there. Piper was there. Ren was probably there and doing something she shouldn't have. she was especially 2 years ago. She's five now, so at three, yeah. She might have been in a stroller. But I remember seeing your stuff thinking, I've never seen anything like that. And then I looked at my husband and I said, and we live somewhere different than, and he said, where can this go in the house? And he said, nowhere. He's like, we don't have, like, a spot. Like, we lived in a smaller house. There, like, wasn't a spot. I was like, yeah, but, like, where can it go in the house? And so we got that day two magnets, a gifted one, and then a piece, and I wish I remembered what it said. I don't have it in front of me. But I have a wall at my house. It's a travel wall. And so it has photos that I've taken on adventures that I've been on that don't have people in them. So it's just, like, beautiful pictures from the places that I were and things that were, like, important. But I wanted to, like, fill in spaces with things. And so your piece was actually the first thing that started to fill in spaces on the travel wall.
Yay.
And that's when I met you. And my daughter actually said, I'm going to make you feel bad for a minute. I don't want to make you feel bad.
Oh, God.
Here we go.
She's like, I really hope. She's like, do you know she's a teacher here? And I said, no. She's like, if she's that cool at art, I really hope she's my teacher one day.
Oh, ouch.
I'm sorry. So just so you know what I'm about to say.
Yeah.
This is your lead-in. You're welcome. My daughter's in third grade.
Oh, I know.
Jamie teaches fourth grade.
And I couldn't wait one more year, could I?
Nope. And Jamie will no longer be working for the city of Virginia Beach after this June.
I have the chills.
Wow.
I
knew that. That wasn't a secret. She knew that part about that Piper loves her. So that's not like a secret.
But it's still, like, to hear it. And I love my kids. And I just, even seeing kids from the previous years, I just get so excited. And I'm that person that if I see you out and about at Target, I'm like, oh, like, I'll freak out and get excited. But I just, there's a lot, every teacher has the moment where they're like, I'm done, I can't do this anymore. But they always come out of that. That's such a cycle of that. And it was important to me it never occurred to me to stop teaching, honestly. But the pull toward writing and the pull toward art and the mission of empowering women and anyone really, with the words became bigger. And I felt like I couldn't necessarily do what I wanted to do with writing in public school. My passion of creative writing and mindfulness with the kids, their mindset of I can't was painful. And I just felt like I really needed to hone in those things. And with the massive amount that is required of us in a school, it was overwhelming. And so I wanted to make sure I went to a place where I wasn't leaving teaching, where I was moving towards something that was very important to me. And I just felt like, you know, I started writing a book, the book in the swing, you know, that I was writing. I stopped writing because Driftwood happened. And so I pulled it back out, and I feel like, you know, a lot of people going through divorce could benefit from hearing. It's really a narrative, like poetry, and like a journey through the tunnel that they say has a light at the end. And I went through that tunnel. And the poems and the words that I put on Driftwood also kind of give that power back to people going through a hard time. Or even just, you know, fun, sassy things too, and traveling and just loving nature. And those are the things that help keep us grounded when we're going through a hard time. But I just felt like I really want to write this book, and I really want to, like, make things, but I have to always wait for, like, every other weekend and summer. I just felt like I couldn't get to all those things. And then there's also a new upcoming, will eventually be huge, adjacent, is going to be like a online and hopefully in person again one day, educational community for teachers that can be like grow professional and personal development in like a quality way that we may not always get at school. No offense to the schools, but
there's a lot of you.
I can also create some courses that with passion about writing. I am so passionate about writing, and it's just not in the curriculum. It's very like scripted and
SOL driven,
mm-hmm. and I just couldn't fit in that box anymore. No offense to all the great things that public school does, but I had dreams of like writing camps for kids and women, and I also then want to bring art into it. You know, maybe at the end of the writing camp week, I burn one of the quotes from your writing into a piece of driftwood.
That's cool.
I just, there's so many things, and they all revolve around words. It's all about the power of the words.
So how do you then...
Get the chills.
Mm-hmm. How do you then take what some would call like a super steady life of teaching and say... I'm just gonna like make this dream my life.
I am a single mom too, so I'm like,
I know.
Holy, it just became not optional. And the crazy part is, I didn't ask anyone. I didn't call my parents or my friends and be like, "Do you think I should? What should I do with this? Am I gonna have health insurance?" Like, no. I was like, "This is not optional. I have complete 100% faith that if I do this, something huge is on the other side." And I don't exactly know what it is. I know what, but I don't know how. And Jen Sincero, the You Are a Badass, mm-hmm. which is why I burn You Are a Badass.
Yeah.
That book. And, like, I just feel like the universe is going to respond to this badass leap mm-hmm. of, like, holy shit, what?
Right, like, I'm just going to, like, run for it.
Yeah. And I'm going to figure it out. And I went into my principal, and I remember the day.
Your principal's, like, the coolest, nicest
lady,
amazing.
Too.
She's
amazing. I feel so supported by them. She's like, "I'm really impressed that you're doing this." I'm like, "Thank you."
The principal calls me when my kid's not in trouble.
Nice.
Yeah.
So, annually?
Yeah, or just, like, every once in a while. Hey, is your kid ready for SOLs? I don't know. We'll find out. But, yeah. What did she say?
I sat there and I was like, I have to do this. I have to. So I went in and asked her, I said, "Is a sabbatical still a thing?" And she's like, "Why?" And I said, I think I'm restless. And I think I have to try this thing. Like, I gotta go see about a girl. Or, like, whatever the quote is, right? I have to go see about art. And she's like, "Well, if you're serious," she's like, "you get the, like, whatever stipend. If you do it by tomorrow, you get the $500 stipend." I'm like, "All right, I'm doing it." Like, nice. Not because of that necessarily, but I was,
but
like,
it was like,
I needed some kind of, like,
extra timeline.
Yeah, timeline. Yeah. So I literally did it that day. And they sent me the paperwork through my email, like, that day, and I clicked the button at dismissal. It was crazy. And then I took 2 weeks of, like, pure bliss of excitement, and then fear was, like, is here and there of, like, oh, my God, what did you just do? Hmm. Like, how are you going to pay your bills? Like, but I have a... I'm going to figure it out.
I think there's something really, to make you really happy to, like, think about, like, that version of yourself, because I know that version of myself. And
I love it. That's what makes entrepreneurialism fun, is that it's that rush of, like you said, like, not exactly sure how, but I'm betting on me.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, like, that's a very, like, it is terrifying, but it's also, like, the most empowering feeling to say, like, okay, like, it's me.
Yeah. And... Live a Great Story is, they're in Texas or something. I follow them. I love them. They I just love this phrase. Mm-hmm. And I always feel that. I have like fractals of serendipity that just could make this last for a long time. Mm-hmm. But I asked on the way here, I was kind of in fear because I was like cleaning out my classroom today and like purging. I was like, are you sure about this? Are you sure about this? Like everything, I have like 3 bins of recycling. Are you sure about this? I'm like, holy shitting myself today. Well, that came out wrong.
But I really like it.
Can you put that on Driftwood, please?
I wish you would.
But I said on the way here, I was like, okay, you need to calm down. I always ask for little signs. I ask for a sign. I'm like, I know it's weird, but I want to live a great story sign. Like, I wonder if it'll be where I go. So I'm out there. I meet Shannon, and Shannon asks me why I'm here, and long story short, she's like, oh, do you know so-and-so that's got Sandbridge Sanctuary? I'm like, I made that. She saw the sign and wanted to know who made it, so we're chatting. Then the guy next to her, she introduces me, and guess what's on the sticker on his phone? Live a great story.
Wow.
I asked for that on the way here for a live a great story, just so I knew, like, a reminder of, like, if you're doing the right thing. Holy, I took a picture of his phone. I'm like, I know it's weird, but
mm-hmm. Like, let it be
those
weird.
Things happen to me all the time. It's crazy.
That's amazing.
Well, that's kind of, I think, the part about entrepreneurship that we all forget. And that's why it's so nice to, like, hear it in this, mm-hmm. like...
Yeah. And how I ended up selling. I didn't even know. Can I tell that one, too?
Yeah.
I didn't even know I was going to start a business. I was just making shit. Like, I even thought about calling it, like, make shit. Like, I make shit.
Yeah.
But I went in when Teal Eagle opened. Uh-huh. My friends kept saying, oh, you have to check it out, check it out. Finally go in, and I was like, oh, whose dream is this? This is precious. Like, I need to meet who. In walks the owner, my student's parent. Nice. And I was like, out of the element, it took me a second. She's like... Thanks, Mom. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so weird. Still didn't know I was starting a business. And she was just talking about wanting to support local art. And I'm like, oh, I make pom-poms. That'd be fun. Like, didn't, she's like, you should bring them. I'm like, really? So then the Driftwood, and last night, all the pom-pom things, the bases sold. And I said, I'm also playing with this, like, Driftwood burning stuff. She's like, bring it in. And then... then I became a vendor there. And I don't know. And then, you know, all the stories of all the other places I'm in. It's crazy.
Well, and that's kind of what, to me, is, like, so special. You have this idea and you take it, or you have this thing that you do, and you're like, this might be a thing. Maybe people will pay me for it.
Yeah. And it's unique.
And then they do. And you think, maybe I'm good at it. And then people want more of it. And you're like, actually, I'm like, maybe I'm really, really good at it. And then you create this life that you wouldn't have thought you could have had.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the time, you were just burning wood at your friend's house. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Or taking photos of your kids. Or doing, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, whatever it may be. Turns into so much more. And I think, you know, you keep talking about, like, the idea of connection and, like, signs and seeing mm-hmm. people and knowing people and things working out the way they're supposed to. That's really what it's about.
Mm-hmm.
And then finding, like, your own place in that.
I think it has a lot to do with getting quiet. Meditation is huge for me, and sitting in stillness to hear and connect with myself. So that I trust myself. And then when, like, the signs and things happen and serendipity is, like, crazy, it feels like...
You can acknowledge it. Yeah.
And follow it. For sure. It's insane.
It's so funny because I think about... I just keep going back to how excited you are. And, like, people on the podcast that can't see your face and your excitement and your...
But
it's a thing that I think we forget to hold on to sometimes, you know, and you might find this the longer you go, right. And I'm not going to be like a whatever. Mm-hmm. You can listen to the podcast and remind yourself if you need to, but you remember how excited you were to start a brokerage. You remember how mm-hmm. excited you were to start a social media management company. Mm-hmm. And then it's almost like it becomes rote and routine, and you forget, like, that. Not forget, because you still like it, but, like, that initial.
Well, it's like you said, like, the whose dream is this? Like, you walked into someone yeah. else's dream, and you said, whose dream is this?
Yes.
And it's yours. And then I do think that you're right, is that you get caught in, like, the doldrums of, yeah. I built the thing, and I have to do it, and now I'm showing up. And then, hopefully, if you're lucky, you get to come out the other side of them, and you realize your dream, just like this lady's,
yeah.
is then enabling everyone else's dream. Mm-hmm. And then that's when all the wind gets in your sails again.
Mm-hmm.
And the words, too. I like you were saying you were crying at the last wedding that you did. Yeah. Like, I love to make people cry. Like, that sounds so wrong. But when people read words and they cry, it's everything, because it means they felt it. Like, mm-hmm. and I've just... the people that come for custom things that are very sentimental mean a lot to me too, because, you know, hearing something over and even like right now, the universe is conspiring is like a huge one for me, or resilient. There's a lot of words I need to be surrounded by that remind me to stay the course and stay calm. And they're very powerful to me. And like, I make it and I'm like, you know, some people, I see this in my students and my kids a lot. They make something like, it's, you know, it's my first try, or it's okay, or I have to fix it. No, 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 no. I'm like, I even just told my daughter and her friend, I'm like, no, 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 no. You make something that you love, and you show it with pride, and you're like, look what I just made. This is so cool. That's what I'm talking about.
Well, you said that thing, too, at the school you work at. I'll never forget kindergarten orientation for Piper. the principal gets over, like, the loudspeaker and is, like, talking to all the parents. I think that's how that works. Or something. You watch a video or something. Yeah. Like, whatever. She speaks to you. And she says, here at this school, we don't say, I can't.
Mm-mm.
We say, I can't yet.
Hmm. Oh, yeah. The mindset, for sure. Well, my other passion is teachers are saying, I can't all the time. And so the kids are hearing it. You know, the teachers walk past each other in the hallway, and they're like, I can't. I just can't. And so I want to be an advocate for teachers' mental health, because one of the backstories is I had a stroke when I was 40.
What? Mm.
When I went through my divorce, you know, financial leap of faith, moving, like, just my kids were struggling. It was a lot. And just the stress. And thankfully, everything worked out fine. I actually had, like, a hole in my heart that had to be fixed. I had from birth, which caused it, I guess. But stress, the mindset of teachers is huge right now, and they're all really stressed out. And I want to help bring the passion back into it, especially through writing. And
well, I think you can also probably do that by showing them, like, hey, you know, I may have been, like, really good at this thing, but I was also good at this other thing. And, like, that can be a release and a mm-hmm. whatever when things are stressful. What are you the most scared of?
Paying my bills.
Put that in context, though. Like, you'll find a way to pay your bills, right? Like, you're not going to be the person who doesn't pay your bills. Right. Like, that's not... What's the scariest part of taking the leap? Like, if you feel like this, like, insane, you know, draw to do it, but what's the scary part?
I do, like, I have very little doubt in the power of the words, and I feel like, I'm not very religious, but I feel like this divine, like, sometimes I wake up at 5 a.m. and a whole poem comes out. And it just happened. So I don't doubt the work and the words. It's just a matter of how to turn that into abundance. Mm-hmm. So I do suppose it really does come down to, I hope that I can organize myself in a way that I can, I don't know.
Make it work.
Make it work.
Yeah.
Scheduling myself enough to branch out. I worry about my health sometimes with the smoke, because I wear a mask. I have the ventilation, but I'm like, what if it's not healthy? Yeah. What if my arm starts to hurt and I don't want to do it anymore? But there's so much more to it that I guess it's just scary that I won't love it as much, that it'll change and from that giddy, like, look what I made and look at these words, you need to hear these words, to job feel, you know, or I guess that's the wrong word. But
it's not. It's the right word.
No,
yeah.
That's accurate. It's so the podcast.
I don't want to lose that.
We're recording this on May 17th, I should say that. So today's podcast that we made live was for Hummingbird. And she talked about how she knew she was a really good entrepreneur. Like, she knew how to run a business. And so she found a passion to...
So the reverse of what I'm
doing. The reverse. And that was the first I had heard that.
That's very rare.
It is. I think a lot of entrepreneurs start your way. Like, I've got this thing, and I know it can work. I'm going to figure out how to make it work. But it's going to be...
It might be clumsy.
Yeah, but it's going to be real... There's going to be some stuff that I got to figure out.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe hire an accountant. You know, like...
Maybe.
Yeah. I got a really good one. You know, so it's... The scary parts, though, I think when you do have, like, that call, don't really matter as much.
Yeah.
Sometimes then it's significantly scarier not to do them.
Right.
Than it is to do them.
It just became not optional. I just had to.
I like the term not optional.
Yeah.
What are you most looking forward to?
Freedom. Just freedom to create instead of having to wait. I always feel like I'm waiting to be able to get to a notebook, or waiting to be able to get to the burner, or the course. I see a room full of kids. I see a room full of women, just being able to inspire them to write and create things they're proud of. And I just feel like I can't wait anymore to get to those things, instead of, you know, every other weekend in summer. It's just, that's
what it's just going to be your life.
Mm-hmm. And I can't wait to wake up and do my meditation and actually have time to maybe exercise. What is that going to be like? And have warm coffee. I pretended this morning that my coffee was iced coffee, but it didn't really work. It was just cold.
Somehow not the same.
Yeah. It's not.
That doesn't always change. I will say I am the queen of saying I'm going to do something for myself, and then your business sometimes unintentionally becomes, like, supersedes whatever that thing was you were going to do that might not be as important. Hold on to that.
Oh.
Hold on to that, like, want for some semblance of, I need this routine to do what I love to do well.
Mm-hmm.
Jen Sincero, I listened to her. She had, like, a gathering podcast when her book released, and she actually picked my question. Of course she did. And answered and said my name. And I asked about that doubt of when, you know, you feel like you don't trust your dream. And she said, the spiritual gym. You must go to the spiritual gym every morning. And that is so true for me. Like, I need to write and I need to meditate every morning to maintain that belief. Because if I don't do it, the fear is overwhelming sometimes.
I feel like you should, when we leave here, go write down, like, these, like, notes to yourself for 3 years from now and 5 years from now and 10 years from now when...
I bought a fresh new journal and I have all the things that
good.
Make me feel powerful. And they end up on wood, but they're, like, my collection of things when
you need
scared.
To do, like, a, hey, wake up and do this. Like, have, like, a... When you have those rough days that will, like, inevitably happen, those, all right, if I can do these three things before I get started, I'm going to be able to reset.
Yeah. Like a recipe book, but for a good day. Yeah. Like, pull out your recipe card for.
Yes. Yeah.
I always give myself, like, an imaginary, like, coin or, like, ding when I choose something that's hard to choose, like getting up early. It's like, ding, the universe just saw that you did the thing. Mm-hmm. Like, you drank a glass of water before you had coffee. Ding. Like, just these little pieces of when it's a difficult choice. I always give myself, like, gold sticker. Mm-hmm. From the universe. And yeah. I
love that you have a mental sticker chart. You are a teacher.
Oh, yeah, totally. But then I get back serendipity in return, and it's pretty magical.
That's awesome. It's so funny because, I don't know, sometimes I feel old and jaded, and then I hear stories like this, and I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. I, like, really do love what I do, and what I do is awesome, and I know that feeling. And you feel it, like, deep down, even when your to-do list is 20 pages long and whatever else. I mean, that's the reason this podcast exists.
Yeah. And the way out of that is being in the moment, like, be here now. I bring that a lot. Be here now. Because then your to-do list isn't here. It'll still be there. And that's hard to maintain. But the more resilient, like, that's the thing, is, like, we're all going to have those moments, but it's how resilient you are and getting back to. So I burn resilient all the time. I cannot get enough of that word, too. Yeah. And extraordinary, like, it's just, there's so many great words that are so powerful.
I'm excited for you.
Thank you.
I'm excited you got to come hang with us today.
I did a podcast.
I know.
I said I was going to, like, branch out and do, like, more public speaking, and one day, like, maybe a TED Talk. I don't know, but it's got to start.
Yeah, I'm happy that it started in this room.
I totally believe you could do those things.
Yeah. Thank you. Like, legitimately.
Like, who am I to think I could do that? But I'm like, shit, yeah.
Why not you?
I'm just going to do it. Yeah. Live a great story.
Yeah. Well, and that's what it's about, you know? That is the reason, like, we want to tell people stories. Yep. And I think it's so important to remember those feelings and those
I love dreams. What you're doing, too. And your dream. This is a new dream, and it's awesome.
Yeah. It's so fun to have something that's very well established, and then to have this and not even necessarily know where it's going, but be really happy where it's at. I think that is a very unsettling, wonderful feeling.
Sometimes it's fun to fail. You know?
Yeah. It's fun to not know what you're doing. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Be okay with it.
Yeah.
Be like, oh, that was fun.
Yeah.
Didn't work, but whatever. Yeah. It was a good ride. Story.
I know.
Oh, my gosh. When the address to the place they were looking at, I was like, of course. Mm-hmm. That's the kind of stuff that happens.
Well, that's how these things happen. That's how a podcast happens. That's how a Misty Saves a Day happens. That's how an own happens. Mm-hmm. And I think the biggest reason that I wanted you to come on the podcast, and I told you this before we started, I think a lot of us forget that level of excitement that you have in the normal day-to-day.
Yeah.
We remember it when we're winning.
Yeah.
But when we feel overwhelmed, we forget. And so I think it's so important to remember.
I think I actually kind of appreciate the lows, because then I have authenticity for where my words are coming from. I've lived them, and I continue to live them, and that's why we need them. And I also, some of my writing is, like, from that overcoming those moments. And I feel like, you know, sometimes we hear, like, maybe even when I read Jen Sincero, I'm like, well, she's figured it out. She doesn't have the bad days anymore. I'm sure she does. But I think it's nice to stay, like, sometimes I'm thankful for that it's stays authentic. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of...
I'd like for them to be less frequent, I guess.
Well, right. But then it's not... You don't take it for granted.
Right. Right.
It makes your excitement that much more real. Well, I'm stoked for you.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming to hang out with us on a Monday after work.
Yeah, right?
Thanks for taking a risk on a newbie.
It doesn't seem like a risk. Yeah.
It wasn't a risk. Not a risk. Especially on SOL week.
Oh, my gosh. SOL prep. Just, no.
Yeah, it's your last year. It's fine.
No.
It's almost gone.
You can burn exactly that in driftwood. SOL prep, just no, no, no.
I think you'd have a lot of teachers who buy it.
They would.
Uh-huh.
They really would.
They would. Well, thank you. This was great. Bye, guys. Good to see you.